absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.
Hello and welcome to show 183 of our podcast, Absolutely Intercultural. My name is Laurent Borgmann, and today our show will be about experiences during an internship abroad, intercultural preparation for the tourist industry, and first impressions of an Australian in Europe. Isn't it great to experience new cultures by traveling to different parts of the world? 4 weeks ago, I spent my holiday in Andalusia in Spain. I've wanted to go there for a long time. Granada, Córdoba, Sevilla. These place names have always sounded very attractive to me. On the first day, my wife and I took part in a guided bicycle tour in Malaga. And by chance, we met Niels Langer. He told us that in the framework of his studies at the university, he's completing a tourism internship in a Spanish bicycle shop. So in our first category, absolutely prepared, I asked Niels how he found his internship in that shop and what is fascinating about his daily work with the international tourists.
Mostly it's always the same reaction. Everybody wants to know about bullfighting and they love to hear the stories. But in fact, no one really wants to watch the bullfight. So no one likes it, but everybody wants to know about it.
In our second category, absolutely dressed up, I interviewed Sandra from Queensland, Australia, who right now is a guest lecturer in Europe. I asked her what her first impressions were.
Yes, to me that was something out of a movie. People actually dress like that in this day and age. I had no idea.
In our third category, absolutely extraordinary, I asked Vladimir Jescht, the owner of that bicycle shop in Malaga, what he can offer to the students who do an internship in his shop.
But I will say 95% of students which come here are very, very happy because we are also paying. And they say by themselves that this is like doing vacations and get paid for that.
But now let us start with the show. Quite a number of my students take on internships abroad in order to gain intercultural awareness and to improve their language and transferable skills. They are culturally immersed in their host countries, much more than during a regular visit on a holiday. Working as an intern abroad provides them with insights into foreign work environments and working styles. Afterwards, they benefit from the new international contacts they made during their internships abroad. On my holiday in Spain, I took part in a guided bicycle tour in Malaga. I was rather surprised when I found out that our very competent young guide was a German student from Lippstadt, doing an internship in a shop which offers guided tours for tourists in a variety of languages. So I interviewed Niels for our first category, absolutely prepared. First, I asked him what his main tasks during the internship were and if he recognized any improvements of his intercultural skills.
My main tasks are to do the city and panorama bike tour, even the wine and tapas tour. So I take the tourists to the main sites of Malaga by bike, of course, So as we are a bike shop. This is my main task, but also I spend some time in the office and doing some front office tasks. For example, answering some emails and the reservations.
Can you actually put your finger on it where you have improved your skills, where you can now point to skills which you didn't have before?
I think the most important thing for me is that I know how tourists are, how they work, because you meet lots of people from all around the world. So I had some people from California, from Australia. You meet all the people and you know what they want you to show them and what they want to talk about. So this is just a personal skill that is better now.
Right. Do you personalize your tours interculturally? Do you give a different tour to Californians and to Germans and to Japanese? Can you give an example perhaps?
I try to customize it, but sometimes if there is a big group, you have to go the normal way, but if there is just a couple from California, like yesterday, you can go wherever they want you.
Okay.
And even the Californians and Americans, they want to know about the whole European culture and not just about the Andalusian culture. So you have to explain a little more, even about Germany, England, and France. Okay.
Because maybe it's only one out of three stops in Europe, and they want to know what Europeans are like.
Yeah, that's it. So they came here on a cruise ship, and they have six Spanish ports, I think. This one was the first, and they wanted to know about the real Spanish culture, not what tourists see. So they did our bike tour.
All right. Okay. I noticed in the bike tour we took with you that you were talking quite a bit about the bullfighting. Do people react differently from different countries?
Mostly it's always the same reaction. Everybody wants to know about bullfighting and they love to hear the stories. But in fact, no one really wants to watch the bullfight. So no one likes it, but everybody wants to know about it.
Are there any customers from a certain nationality who are a little more difficult, where when they come into your shop your heart sinks and you think, oh my god, let's send them somewhere else?
No, it's not that bad. But sometimes if you have an English tour with real English people, they never laugh about your jokes.
Oh, right.
So sometimes it's quite hard because you think, well, they don't like my tour. But in the end, they are happy and they say, thank you very much. It was an awesome tour, and they are happy.
Oh,
but
right?
On the tour, you can't see that they really enjoy it.
So okay. So maybe they're a little more reserved?
Yeah, that's what you say about English people. And in fact, it's like this.
Now, what are the unique selling points of this practical training?
So you're always doing some sports because you do the city bike tour. Mm-hmm. The city bike tour is not too hard, but if you do the panorama bike tour, it's quite some cycling. It's also the weather, of course, as we already talked about it. But even that you meet people from all around the world, it makes it a special internship, and you don't have it in too many places because this is really a tourist area and everybody is coming here.
Mm-hmm.
So even the Australians, they are coming to Malaga and they want to do the city bike tour. That's really the special thing about it. And you can, because we have small groups, you can talk to everybody. You can talk to them where they are from and whatever you want to know. So
now let's move to our second category, absolutely dressed up. Sandra Elsom, an Australian guest lecturer at Rhein A Campus in Remagen, recognized a great number of intercultural differences right when she came to Europe. She even noticed that the Germans are physically different from Australians, and it made her a bit uncomfortable. Would that mean that size matters after all?
Yes, we noticed that German people are very tall, and as tall people ourselves, this took us by surprise because we're not used to looking up to people physically. But yes, Germans very tall, very slender.
But you're very tall yourself.
Yes, very tall. Well, for a woman, I'm very tall, but not in Germany. In Germany, I seem to be average height, which is sort of novel.
That is interesting. How long did it take you to notice that? Is that something that is immediately apparent, or did it take you a couple of days?
It was almost immediate. And then I thought, well, maybe there's just a basketball convention arriving at the airport or something. I don't know. But as we looked around, as we walked through Cologne, we discovered or seemed to discover that the Germans are, in fact, a race of very tall people.
Right. Does that change your life at all?
No, not in the slightest. In fact, being tall and fair and blue-eyed, I'm usually mistaken for German, and people start speaking to me in German and I fumble out a very poor ich spreche keine Deutsch.
Okay. And but it is true. So in the supermarket, I can imagine that people would think you are German.
Yes, mostly. Although as soon as I speak, they realize that I'm not. Even if I've just said Guten Tag, even, I immediately am obvious as a foreigner.
There is an accent. Okay.
Yeah.
So apart from the tallness of the Germans, is there anything else crazy about them?
So at home, we at an airport where we're carrying luggage, we would look for a lift, an elevator to carry our bags up because escalators, you're not allowed to take luggage on escalators in Australia.
So there is a sign on the escalator that you cannot take your bags up there?
Correct. Well, anything large you can't take on the
suitcase.
Correct, yeah. A small suitcase you can, but anything large you'd be expected to use the lift. And the lifts are very large as well to cater for that. But in Germany, you don't even seem to have access to a lift. And sometimes there seems to be an expectation that you'll carry the bags up and down the stairs.
Okay.
In fact.
Okay. Yeah. So that was a little frightening for you to take your luggage on the escalator?
It was a little frightening, and we did hover at the bottom of the escalator for some time, feeling very silly, watching the Germans just
do it
jump on and jump off with their suitcase and their surf ski and whatever else they were carrying.
Anything else you noticed? Because you had a couple of days in Cologne. Anything you noticed in the streets?
We did have a couple of days in Cologne, and we walked out of the train station and saw the cathedral, which was quite mind-blowing for us because
it is tall, isn't
it's,
it?
Yes. It's a hell of a cathedral. It's, yes. That's the biggest church I've ever seen, and
it is,
it's just
there. I think
there.
It might even be the number one attraction for tourists in the whole of Germany. I think it might
oh,
be.
Oh, wow. Mm. Oh, it was amazing. Oh, it was just amazing. And it's so old.
Yes.
And it's just right there in the middle of the city and still operating.
Yeah.
And on our second day, there was a celebration there. And there were a lot of religious figures coming in and out. And, of course, not being Catholic and not being European, I haven't even seen nuns in traditional garb. In fact, I do know a Catholic nun at home, but they dress the same as we do. She wears a little cross on her collar. That's the only way that you would know she was a nun.
So these people were really dressed up, because I think this was about the new Archbishop.
New Archbishop, whose name I have forgotten now, but I did learn it on the day. Yes, to me that was something out of a movie. People actually dress like that in this day and age. I had no idea.
Okay, so you would only expect that in Vatican and Italy.
Yes, I had thought that perhaps if we'd gone to Vatican City, we might see something like that, but I didn't expect to see it in the streets of Cologne.
The Cologne Cathedral, or Kölner Dom, as we say in German, is truly amazing. And if you plan a trip to Germany, you absolutely have to visit it. And if you are as lucky as Sandra, you might see a religious procession in the street. So let us move to our third category, absolutely extraordinary. I interviewed Vladimir Jetsch, the native Russian owner of Bike Tours Malaga. The guided tours and bike rental shop is right by the sea. In the brochure, Vladimir calls himself the bike adventure specialist. He does not only offer bicycles for rent, but also, as we heard from Niels, offers international tours for tourists. I asked him to explain the concept.
So we offer every day different times to join our guided bike tours.
Mm-hmm.
We have them also in different languages. So our languages are English, German, Dutch.
Okay.
So these are the main three languages we offer in everyday tours. The rest, for example, Spanish and Russian or Italian, you have to book in advance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you met Niels. So we are we are offering also like a summer jobs, also internships. Mm-hmm. For German or for international students, and the students have to be for sure bilingual.
Well, he was very good, actually. He was a very good tour guide. He knew a lot about the place.
Yeah.
So how do you train these guys? And also, how do you, maybe we start with the recruitment.
Yeah.
How do you find the right people with the right attitudes to come over and help you here in the shop?
First of all, we are open to everybody. So a lot of people can write us, or we don't have a specification of asking only, for example, marketing students to do the marketing job. So for us, it's more important the personality behind the curriculum vitae.
Okay, and but personality is difficult to select. So
yeah,
how do you do this?
It's very difficult to select, you know, you have right. We have first contact, email contact.
Mm-hmm.
Then for sure we have at least two telephonates or Skype speeches.
Okay.
And we describe also in our personal Skype speeches. I do this selection, and then you get clear a little bit about the personality behind the telephone.
Right.
So,
okay.
So it's also how do you say? It's a little bit of intuition
yes.
to get the right person.
And over the years, you improve by trial and error to find the right people.
Yeah, it's also experience is paying, getting a lot in this kind of procession for sure. And for sure, we have also try and error. And some students came here and said, "Yeah, after 1 week, it's not the right what they
expected.
Looked for and what they expected." And we say, "For sure, it's your life and it's
exactly.
our life. So live your life and and enjoy and find a better place or find the correct place." But I will say 95% of students which come here are very, very happy. because we are also paying, and this they say by themselves that this is like doing vacations and get paid for that.
So as you heard, doing your internship abroad does not only improve your intercultural and language skills, but also, with a bit of luck, can feel like a paid holiday by the sea. Let's go back to Sandra Elsom, who earlier shared with us how she was amazed by the movie-like outfits of the religious people in a procession in Cologne. Sandy also commented on the way regular German guys dress up for work.
It was very different to Queensland. Mm-hmm. Having lived in Melbourne for a while, it probably wasn't significantly different than Melbourne. But we did notice, I did notice that the German men really know how to wear a suit.
What do you mean by that?
Well, on the Sunshine Coast, if a man is wearing a suit and tie, then he's either getting married or somebody died.
Okay.
But in Germany, men were obviously going to work dressed that way, and they looked very comfortable. Any man wearing anything more than a pair of shorts and an open neck shirt is considered overdressed in my part of Australia.
Okay. And so you noticed that people were actually wearing these suits differently from when people wear a suit to a wedding in your country?
Men in Australia look uncomfortable in suits, or certainly in Queensland where it's very hot.
Okay.
They just look uncomfortable. They always have their fingers in the collar trying to loosen it. They'll be taking the tie off. They'll be complaining. But no, men in Germany were just walking around looking very tasteful in their suits. Not that I was looking a lot.
I'm sure you were.
I was looking. Okay. I confess.
Do you get the impression that everything is a little more formal in Germany, that we have more rules than you would have in Australia?
No, far less rules here in Germany. I expected more rules, but no, far less rules.
How do you mean?
Well, even things like the carrying bags on the escalators, we mm-hmm. wouldn't be allowed to do that at home. People smoke in various places here.
Okay.
Now, smokers in Australia are generally confined to a perhaps 5 metre by 5 metre area.
Enclosed
space, yes.
That's true. Right. I went to an outside event. This was actually a musical festival out in the countryside, and everything was outside, basically. And yet there was a confined area, which was also outside, of course, but where you had to go. So you couldn't just stand anywhere between the trees to have a cigarette, but you had to go to a designed area to do that.
That's right. We can't, in Queensland now, you can't smoke in a park or at a beach or within, I think, maybe 4 metres of a shop front. Ben, my son, was surprised to see cigarette butts on the ground, which was quite lovely, actually, because I know that was perfectly normal for us for a long time.
Okay.
but it's very, very restricted now.
So you would say that there are actually fewer rules in Germany than you notice in Australia?
Yes, absolutely fewer rules. And what I would say more is that I've now noticed how many rules we have in Australia.
Can you give an example of a rule which you now think might not be absolutely necessary because Germans survive without it?
Well, the alcohol, I think, is really interesting. There's obviously alcohol is a big part of German society, and the prices are a half to a third of what we would pay at home. But we have a lot of social problems with alcohol, and that just doesn't seem to be the case in Europe.
Okay. Maybe because people grow up drinking alcohol.
Perhaps there's less novelty.
Right.
Less novelty.
What is the age at which Australians are allowed to drink?
Well, officially you're allowed to drink at 18 in Australia, in licensed premises. You can drink at home at any age. There are no rules on that. But parents would be frowned upon for giving their children alcohol from too young an age. Most teenagers in Australia will probably start drinking around 15.
Mm-hmm.
They will have done some serious damage to their livers by 16 or 17, and by the time 18 comes around, they're bored with the entire thing. But the novelty then, of course, is that they can drink legally.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we do have a lot of problems with alcohol and violence, particularly in the major cities. Queensland has a club lockout, so after 3 a.m., you can't go from one club to another in a nightclub area.
Mm. If you could introduce an Australian law or regulation to Germany, which one would it be after only a couple of days here?
Not a law, perhaps, but just a little bit of a guideline is that I had heard that Germans don't queue.
Mm-hmm.
They do wait patiently, but it's true that they don't queue. They more huddle. So if a German's waiting to be served They will be gathered together around the serving area. Mm-hmm. They won't be waiting in an orderly queue, whereas Australians queue up. We line up for things. It's not like Japan, for example, where everyone just pushes their way to the front. But, Germans do seem to have an issue with straight lines in that regard, which surprises me. It's not the sort of country where you would expect that people had trouble waiting in a straight line.
So while Sandra was surprised that the stereotypically orderly Germans do not seem to manage to stand in a straight line when they are queuing up, I was a little surprised to hear from Sandra that there seem to be even more rules and regulations in Australia than in Germany. So that's it for today. Niels Langer, a German student from Lippstadt, shared experiences of his internship in a Spanish bicycle shop. Vladimir Jescht, the native Russian owner of that shop, explained how, with the help of summer jobs and intercultural internships, he can offer guided tours in many different languages. And finally, Sandra from Australia, guest lecturer at Rhein-Ahr Campus in Remagen, told us about her first impressions in Germany. Please check out our website absolutely-intercultural.com to get more information about this and previous episodes. And if you liked our show, please like us on Facebook too. Anne is doing a wonderful job keeping us posted with interculturally interesting stories from around the world. Our next show will be coming to you from Anne Fox in Denmark on the 7th of November. Until then, bleiben Sie absolut interkulturell. Absolutely intercultural.
Vollständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.